Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. This is Carnita Smith with Mission from the Heart Radio. I tell you, it's been a blessed day. God is so faithful. God is so alive. And He is a God that loves all. And for Him to be the center of my life, I am so forever grateful for what He does in and through my life. God is an awesome God. I just want to say thank you for your faithfulness to this broadcast week after week. And we are in for a treat today, as we always are in this broadcast. Today's message is Satan from Beauty to Ashes. So I pray that you come hungry, ready, willing, and able, with your Bible in hand and some notepaper to take notes, because we are going to look at three strong points concerning Satan from beauty to ashes. So before we start the broadcast, or before we start our lesson, touch and agree and open up with a prayer of blessing. So if you would pray with me as we go to the throne of grace. Father God, thank you for allowing us to be used by you. For we are your earthen vessels, and we come ready, willing, and able to hear a word from you. Lord, use your Bible, the words through your Bible, to be an impact in our lives. Allow us to apply your word in our lives, that we would be this beautiful, bright light shining in a world of darkness. Lord, now teach us what you want us to know. But most of all, Lord, show us how to lead others through Jesus Christ to you. This is our prayer as we look through the pages of your word. Breathe upon us, move within us, that we would go out and serve and teach and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So let's look at our lesson. So if you could have your Bible in place to the book of Ezekiel. And as I always like to mention, Ezekiel chapter 28 is going to be our launching pad, and we are going to focus in on verses 11 through 19. So we're going to move pretty quickly. If time allows, we will be looking at this lesson, Satan from Beauty to Ashes. Now, let's look at a particular question before I get into the reading of the word of the book of Ezekiel. The question is, does Satan have you a leash? Now, that's a question to think about. Does Satan have you on a leash? The life you live by is the life you die by. Think about that. Strongholds such as worry, pride, schemes, pornography, seduction, and envy just to name a few, is the leash Satan has around your neck, aka life. Satan's tactics are subtle as they are, have caused many believers to be led to slaughter. We know that Jesus is the only way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but by Him, Jesus alone. So allow Jesus to clean up what you've messed up through salvation and repentance. Now remember, the question is, does Satan have you on a leash? Now, as I read Ezekiel 28, zooming in on 11, verse 11, I want to identify the word leash. And identifying this particular word lets us know the power of God concerning Satan. So let's look at this word, leash. And it's a strap or cord for restraining or guiding an animal. But I like that word, restraining. And the leash on an animal around its neck is to restrain it from wandering off or causing havoc with innocent bystanders or passerbyers. The leash is the restraining instrument that keeps the wild under control. So, just as this leash is the instrument that restrains an animal, I like to look at the leash being the instrument that keeps or that has Satan under control. Now, let's look at Ezekiel 28, and let's see how this plays out in Scripture. So just be ready and prepared, because we will be looking through quite a bit of verses and script in Scripture that shows the three points in this teaching lesson. Satan from beauty to ashes. And I like to look at him as a lion on a leash. Satan is a lion on a leash. Now remember, the leash is the instrument that restrains the animal. The three points in this particular lesson is point one, and make note of this, point one, know your enemy. Know your enemy. Point two, know his tactics. And point three, stand strong, steady. Point one, know your enemy. Point two, know his tactics. Point three, stand strong. Now, these are the three points concerning Satan from beauty to ashes. Reading Ezekiel 28, and I'm going to read it in the New King James Translation, but I want to give a little thumbnail sketch of the verses 11 through 19 just to give you an idea, actually starting with verse 1, to give you an idea of what this particular text is talking about or concerning in Ezekiel 28. So the first five verses of the chapter it talks about a particular king of Tyre. And this particular king of Tyre is a man with a lot of pride in his heart. He had a proud heart. He thinks he's a wise and a wealthy man or king. He lets his wisdom and his wealth make him very important. He sees himself as a god, or as a god, and that's lower G-O-D. That's how he sees himself. So he's a man full of pride in his heart, a king. He thinks he is wise and that his wealth makes him important. And he sees himself as a god. Now, this is in the first five verses of Ezekiel 28. He's haughty of heart. And as I give a little thumbnail sketch of this particular king of Tyre, Ezekiel 28, focusing in on verse 11, the first five verses describe this king, and it alludes to, or yes, alludes to who this particular lesson is about, Satan, from beauty to ashes. Satan went from beauty to ashes. And of course, the first point, as I indicated, know your enemy. That's point number one. Second point is know his tactics. And the third point is stand strong, steady. Now, why do I repeat these points? Because we're going to look at scripture that illustrates, describes, and reveals to us Satan in all of his wonderful colors and beauty. So, the first five verses of Ezekiel, of course, describe this king of Tyre as haughty and a prideful man. He thought his wisdom and his wealth made him important. He really thought he was a god, and that's lowercase G-O-D. And verses 6 through 10 indicate or prophesied against the king of Tyre concerning his dreadful downfall. Now, we remember, if you remember or think back of a verse in Proverbs, and it's Proverbs 16, verse 18 through 19. And let's go there for the benefit of understanding how this particular king of Tyre, who was prideful in heart, he thought his wisdom and his wealth made him important, and he sees himself as a god. Now let's look at Proverbs 16. Now mark your Bible in the book of Ezekiel. Don't lose your place there, Ezekiel 28, but let's flip over to Proverbs 16. And let's see what Proverbs 16, verse 18 tells us concerning pride. And I'll read this in the NIV translation. And it reads this way: pride goes before destruction. A haughty spirit before a fall. He has haughtiness of heart. That's pride. A haughty spirit before a fall. And 19 indicates better to be lowly in spirit and among the oppressed than to share plunder with the proud. And that just kind of sets the tone of this particular king of Tyre, that he was haughty of heart. So as we move back to Ezekiel, let's continue to see how he's going to go from beauty in his mindset to ashes. So verses 6 through 10 indicate that he has a dreadful downfall. God in these passages described his downfall at the hands of strangers and a terrible nation. He will be thrown into a pit and die in the midst of a sea, or of the sea, should I say, and he will be shown that he is not a god, but a sinful mortal man is all he is. And this is what he's going to be shown when we look and read through verses 11 through 19. So if you really think and look at this as a illustration of a man, mortal man, but it's a description of Satan. It is a description of Satan. And we're going to look at this specifically. So let's read verse 11 through 19 in Ezekiel. And I'm going to read it in the New King James Translation. And then I will reread it in the New Living Translation. Starting at verse 11. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation for the king of Tyre, and say to him, Thus says the Lord God, you were the seal of protection. Circle the word were. Full of wisdom. Let me back up. You were the seal of perfection. Full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. You were, circle that word, were, you were in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering, and circle the word was. The sardis, topaz, and diamond, beryl, onyx, and jasper, sapphire, turquoise, and emerald with gold. The workmanship of your timbrels and pipes was prepared for you on the day you were created. You were, circle were, the anointed cherub who covers. I established you. You were on the holy mountain of God. You walked back and forth in the midst of fiery stones. You were, circle the word, were, perfect in your ways from the day you were created till iniquity was found in you. By the abundance of your trading, you became filled with violence within, and you sinned. Therefore, I cast you as a profane thing out of the mountain of God, and I destroyed you, O covering cherub, from the midst of the fiery stones. Your heart is filled, your heart was lifted up because of your beauty. You corrupted your wisdom for the sake of your splendor. I cast you to the ground. I laid you before kings, and they might gaze, that they might gaze at you. You defiled your sanctuaries by the multitude of your iniquity, by the iniquity of your trading. Therefore, I brought fire from your midst. It devoured you, and I turned you to ashes upon the earth. Circle, ashes, upon the earth. In the sight of all who saw you, verse 19, all who knew you among the peoples are astonished at you. You have become a horror and shall be no more forever. Now, there were so many things in this passage that popped out to me, that the Holy Spirit revealed to me concerning how Satan went from beauty to ashes. And this is a example of what the prophet Ezekiel was to tell this particular king of Tyre, that this is what God is going to do to him. Now, as we read through this passage, and I specifically wanted you to circle the words were, past tense, you were in verse 13, you were in verse 14, and even in verse 15. And it gives the indication that it's past and it's going to happen. Ezekiel is told to lament the king of Tyre, and in so doing, he reveals the satanic inspiration behind this wicked man. This is also a description, as I indicated, of Satan himself, his rebellion against God, and his being cast out of heaven by God. So the king of Tyre will be no more forever. So again, this is a description of Satan himself concerning his rebellion against God in this particular prophecy by Ezekiel concerning this king of Tyre. So let's look, this brings me to my first point. And the first point being, know your enemy. Know your enemy. Now, in the title of this lesson, Satan from Beauty to Ashes, and as we saw in the scriptures concerning Ezekiel, and I'm going to reread it in the New Living Translation, just so it would be a little more vibrant in description and how it is translated in this particular translation, the New Living Translation. Let me reread it quickly here in the New Living Translation. And keep in mind, having different translations, as I always indicate when I'm doing a Bible study, I love how the Holy Spirit reveals the Word of God and what He wants us to learn and what He wants us to apply in our lives, the principles, the teachings in these scriptures, and how the different translations bring even more color out of the passages. So here is Ezekiel 28, starting with in the New Living Translation. And I'll start in verse 11. Then this further message came to me from the Lord. This is the prophet Ezekiel. Son of man, weep for the king of Tyre. Give him this message from the sovereign Lord. You were the perfection of wisdom and beauty. You were in Eden, the garden of God. Your clothing was adorned with every precious stone, red, carnelian, cryolite, white, moonstone, beryl, onyx, jasper, sapphire, turquoise, and emerald, beautiful colors. They were given to you on the day you were created. I adored or ordained and anointed you as the mighty angelic guardian. You had access to the holy mountain of God and walked among the stones of fire. You were blameless in all you did, from the day you were created until the day evil was found in you. Your great wealth filled you with violence, and you sinned. So I banished you from the mountain of God. I expelled you, O mighty guardian, from your place among the stones of fire. Your heart was filled with pride because of all your beauty. You corrupted your wisdom for the sake of your splendor. So I threw you to the earth and exposed you to the curses gaze of kings. You defiled your sanctuaries with your many sins and your dishonest trade. So I brought fire from within you, and it consumed you. I let it burn you to ashes on the ground in the sight of all who were watching. And verse 19, all who knew you are appalled at your fate. You have come to a terrible end, and you are no more. And when I read this, the only person I thought about was Satan, and how God indicates in this passage, and how we know he was created to be the most beautiful angel in heaven. And it indicates about the temporals and the pipes. It gives the indication that he may have been the leader of the angels who sing and who are very angelic in worship and singing. He was that angel that led in worship and praise. And the beauty of him, the stones that are described, the colors that are described, give us the indication that he was the most beautiful angel God created. But as we continue to read, he got full of himself, just as this king of Tyre, indicated in the first verses of Ezekiel 28, he saw himself, this particular king saw himself as a god. And he allowed his haughty heart or his prideful heart or his so-called wisdom and wealth make him important. And of course, in these verses of Ezekiel 11:19, it starts to indicate or describe his downfall. And as we read in Proverbs 16, verse 18 and 19 indicated that pride comes before the fall. And God is very consistent in what he is showing us in Scripture, that these are not attributes we want to have or exemplify. So let's look at point one, in knowing who our enemy is, he has many names as described in Scripture. We know him as Satan. We know him as the adversary. He even goes by a name called the devil. We know him as the opponent, and he's also called the accuser of the brethren. He's called a slanderer, a tempter, and angel of darkness. And most have heard him called the father of lies. And also in Genesis 3, verses 1 through 4, he's called serpent. Know your enemy. Now, why is it important for us to know the adversary, know our opponent, know our accuser, our slanderer, our tempter? Why is that important for believers in Christ Jesus to know your enemy? Because it becomes a problem for the believers when we live as though we don't need a shepherd. The sheep always need a shepherd. And when we live as though we are sheep without a shepherd, then the accuser or the serpent or the adversary, Satan himself, will lead the sheep off to slaughter. And then we become devoured or we become caught up in our mess. And as I indicated in the beginning of the broadcast, the strongholds such as worry, pride, schemes, or pornography, or seduction, jealousy, envy, all of these things, just to name a few, that's the leash Satan has around your neck, the leash that he has around your neck. And this is important for us to know why we need to know the enemy, because we become a puppet on a string, living a lifestyle that exemplifies character. This is why it's so important for the sheep or the believers in Christ Jesus, the body of Christ, to stay strong in the Lord, strong in the Word of God, and strong in the worship of God, so that we would not be led astray like a sheep led to slaughter. I indicated that Satan is very subtle or subtle in his character. He makes things appear okay for us to do, for us to think, and for us to say. He makes cussing okay. Oh, it's okay. You can curse like a sailor, or you can use vulgar language, or you can entertain in sexual innuendos. That's okay. Oh, it's okay for you to take a gaze or two or look at pornography on the internet or on our cell phone. It won't cause you to lust. It won't cause you to spiral down in an adulterous relationship. It won't cause you to do anything that would ruin your lifestyle. It's okay for you to gossip. It's just a little child's play. They're adults. They won't be hurt by it. You can even lie. What's a little white lie? God will forgive you. These are the little subtle lies, subtle actions or characters of Satan that will cause a believer to continue to live out a lifestyle that exemplifies. And if you really think back on your life, we were like that. And some of us, as the body of Christ, are still like that. So that's why it's so important to know your enemy. Let's look at some scripture that call him who he is. Let's go to Genesis 3 and let's start at verse 1. Genesis 3, and we're going to read verses 1 through 4. And some of us are very, very familiar with this passage, but God wants to remind us from time to time the importance of this passage in Scripture. Genesis 3, 1, NIV translation. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, did God really say? He said to the woman, he being Satan, aka serpent, did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden? Did he really say that? The woman said to the serpent, we may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die. You will not surely die, the serpent said to the woman. Stopping right there. You will not surely die, the serpent said to the woman. He can cause us to get so tripped up in what God said or commanded. The body of Christ, believers, to not do. We are to trust and obey God's command. And Satan can cause us to get so discombobulated concerning what the word teaches us. Why? Because we don't eat enough of the Word of God. We are weak in spirit, so it stunts our spiritual growth. So when tsunamis, metaphorically speaking, come up on us, devastations attack us, or a life change takes place, we find ourselves wringing our hands as if there's no hope. And we are told in Scripture never to do that, not to do that. We always have hope in Christ Jesus. But Satan, on the other hand, will trip us up and cause us to believe. And if he can entertain in the mind, then he has a stronghold on us. And we will start living that lifestyle, talking like that, or thinking on that level that he has craft, swindled, or conniving, or cleverly did what he did, said what he said, changed it up to satisfy what we want to hear, what we want to do. Keep in mind, we're born in sin, yes, but Jesus' blood covered our sin. He died on the cross for our sin, him and him alone. So when we grow and drink and eat the bread of life, drink the water of life, we feed at his banquet table daily. No matter what the enemy says to us, as I indicated in point three, we can stand, we're strong, and we stay steady. So this is Genesis 3, verses 1 through 4, indicating that he is a serpent, very subtle, very cunning, very conniving, and we have to watch and pray. Then we can go right into the New Testament. Let's look at John 8. So if you would flip over, now keep your Bible marker in the book of Ezekiel, but let's go to John chapter 8, and we're going to look at verse 44. Now, again, this is describing who the enemy is in Scripture. You don't have to just go on what someone tells you. Read it for yourself so that the growth of your maturity in Christ Jesus will start taking place. It will start taking shape, and then it would show forth in your life. John 8, 44. And it reads, in the NIV, verse 44, you belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Now that just solidifies his character. That solidifies Satan and the type of character he has. From the beginning, he was a murderer. He doesn't hold to the truth. We saw that in the garden with Eve, in the Garden of Eden. There's no truth in him. He lies continuously. He speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. He's the master of lies. Now that just solidifies it here in John 8, verse 44. Now, we're going to look at him being the tempter. Let's move over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. And this lets us know in 1 Thessalonians 3 that in these verses, he's described as the tempter. And we're going to look at 1 Thessalonians and we're going to start at verse 5. So I know if you would take note of these verses, if you're not able to move quickly in Scripture, take note and you can go back and reread these in your private study time, but please take note of the scripture in verse 1 Thessalonians 3, 5, and this is in the New King James. For this reason, when I could no longer endure it, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter had tempted you and our labor might be in vain. Now, this is Paul's concern to the church, meaning the believers in Thessalonica, and he indicated that he did not want the believers to be tempted and fall prey to his shenanigans or his temptations. I'm going to reread this in the New Living Translation, and it reads this way. This is why, when I could bear it no longer, I sent Timothy only to find out whether your faith is still strong. I was afraid that the tempter had gotten the best of you and that all our work had been useless. Now he's talking to the believers. And in this particular translation, it has tempter capitalized, indicating that Satan is who he is. And I love the way it's indicated, I was afraid that the tempter had gotten the best of you and that all your work had been done, all the work had been useless. Meaning, when we come to know Jesus Christ, we have to continue to grow stronger and stronger in our maturity so that we could be moved from infancy or milk to meat, maturity. And if Satan can keep the body of Christ weak, then we aren't any good to lead others who are in darkness, who are not saved. We cannot lead them effectively to Christ. So he wants us to live lifestyles that look like we are of the world. He wants us to mimic his ways and feed us lies, as we've seen in Scripture, that it's okay. He does this very well with the weaker ones. That's why it's so much work for us who are stronger in the faith to build up the body of Christ, and that's building up the weaker ones, that they would become strong soldiers in Christ Jesus, so that we would be a mighty army, bringing others into the ark of Christ. This is why we need to know the enemy. And point two, as I indicated in the beginning of our lesson, point two is know his tactics. But we've got to know who he is before we can even see what he does. So when you can see or know who he is, he's a serpent in the Garden of Eden. He's Satan, the accuser, the opponent. He's the devil in all his ugliness. He is the accuser of the brethren, the believers. He's a slanderer. He tries to tempt us. And this is why we pray. Lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from the evil one, according to the Lord's Prayer. He is an angel of darkness. He went from beauty to ashes because of his haughtiness of heart, his pride, his wisdom, his knowledge, and all of the beauty concerning himself. He got full of himself, as some have heard it, the big head. He thought he was the biggest thing in heaven, and he wanted to be bigger than God. He wanted to be God, and he still has that desire today as he's roaming on earth to and fro, nipping at the believer's heels, causing havoc in our lives, trying to devour the weaker ones. Before I move forward in looking at who he is, if you would, brothers and sisters, bow your heads with me today and pray with me, because I do not want to assume that every listener to this broadcast is saved. So if we could right now just pray for the weaker ones, the brothers and sisters in Christ, that they would be revived, that they would repent and turn from their wicked ways or their lifestyles, that we would pray without ceasing, that they would not be devoured, and then pray for the lost, that they would come to know Jesus Christ in the pardoning of their sins. So if you would bow with me, touch and agree as we usher up a prayer of salvation, repentance, to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who is the one interceding for us. So let's pray. Lord God, we just come to you right now, surrendering our lives to you, lifting up holy hands with bowed heads and humbled hearts, that this prayer of salvation and repentance would be a prayer that is a sweet aroma to your nostrils, that you would receive it as an offering. Lord, somebody that may be listening to this broadcast today does not know you. I pray that they would surrender all to you, that they would come to know you intimately and personally, that they would say, right now, Lord, here I am. Come to me, Lord. Come and live in my heart today. For I am a sinner who cannot be saved, but I believe that Jesus died on that cross for my sin, that he or she would say, Lord, I love you and I need thee. Clean me up on the inside, that I would run for you. letting someone know that I am a new creature. I was once lost, but now I am saved. For we usher this prayer to you, that you know who he or she is, Lord God. You see all. And we trust and believe by faith that they have accepted you as their Lord and Savior. Now, Lord, I pray for the saints, that the weak become strong, that they will repent and turn from what they've been thinking about, what they've been saying that did not line up with your word, and how they have been acting that did not show love or a servant's heart or an eagerness to love you first. Lord, we pray for them that you would revive them today. Clean them with hyssop, that they would be afresh, anew. For they are anointed with the Holy Spirit. And Lord, we pray that you would rejuvenate them, that they would be on fire, that they would go out into the vineyard and work, that they would bring others into the ark of salvation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Thank you for praying with me, brothers and sisters in Christ, that somebody came to know him. And whomever you may be, get into a Bible teaching church that you will come to know him, that you will be discipled and be baptized by submersion, that when you get up, you would shout hallelujah and tell somebody that you are a Christ follower. Amen. So we will continue to look at our first point as we see Satan in his many colors and the names that he is called. And we will look at 1 Peter 5, verse 8. So move on over to 1 Peter chapter 5, and we will read verse 8. And I'll read this in the New Living Translation. Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Your enemy. This point is called know your enemy. And verse 8 indicates that he's our enemy, the devil. And he prowls around like a roaring lion, like one. He's not a lion, but he acts like one. And I indicated in the beginning of this teaching lesson that Satan is a lion on a leash. He's a lion on a leash. And the leash indicates restraining, under control. And he roars around, or he prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Who is that someone? The weak in spirit, believers in Christ Jesus. He wants to devour the sheep so he can accuse us in front of God. Remember, he's the accuser, the devil. And then lastly, we're going to look over in 2 Corinthians 4 and 4. 2 Corinthians 4 and 4. The God of this age, and that's lowercase G-O-D, the God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers. Now, we just prayed salvation for those who are living in darkness, who are unbelievers, who not have accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior. He's already blinded them. And it says, so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Now, this is what he's done. He's blinded them. Now, not literally, but he's blinded them in their thinking that they don't need God, that they do not need to accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior, that they can continue to live a hellish life or a life that's mediocrity or a life in lack and not in abundance. He has them thinking that they can live a life of Riley, if you will, the life of the haves instead of the have-nots, a life of luxury. And he has them believing that this is the life that God wants them to live without him. Without him. Him being Christ Jesus. So I want us to see the importance of how slick, cunning, and clever Satan is. And he wants them to not see the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is why the believer's work is so great. But when we are weak in spirit, meaning when we are still immature or on milk of the Word of God, then we do not do a great work in the vineyard. We become lazy, lackadaisical, and God wants us to grow. Satan wants us to hinder. He wants to stunt our spiritual growth. And lastly, for this particular point, is John 12, verse 31. John 12, and we're going to end this particular point at verse 31. I'm going to read John 12, 31 in the New Living Translation, and then, I'm sorry, in the NIV, the NIV translation, and then I'll reread it in the New Living Translation. And it reads this way. Now is the time for judgment on this world. Now the prince of this world will be driven out. The prince of this world. He's called prince of this world. Now is the time for judgment on this world. Jesus said this in the previous verse. So, now the prince of this world will be driven out. Just another name of the enemy. And it reads in the New Living Translation, I'll start at verse 30. Then Jesus told them, the voice was for your benefit, not mine. Verse 31. The time of judgment for the world has come when the prince of this world will be cast out. Cast out or driven out. And we know that to be Satan himself. The prince of darkness It has come to the end of our broadcast, and we will look at the other points in Satan from Beauty to Ashes on our next broadcast. I want to close with understanding how important it is for us to know our enemy. And when we know of him, then we can know his tactics, and then we can stand strong and steady against him. So keep in mind that he is the prince of darkness. He is Satan. He is the devil. He is our opponent. He is the tempter, the father of lies, the accuser of the brethren, the slanderer, the adversary, the serpent in the garden. And it's up to us as believers in Christ Jesus to stand strong and steady. This brings us to the end of the broadcast, Mission from the Heart Radio. I pray that you would share this broadcast with others in your circle of influence. I pray that this first point in Satan from Beauty to Ashes has sparked or planted a rich seed in your bosom for you to come back on the next broadcast lesson, and we will pick up with point two and point three, know his tactics, and point three being stand strong, steady. Always remember that the grass wither and the flowers, they fade away, but the word of God remains forever. God bless you.